Welcome to The Real Shirt Box. My name is Kevin.
I'm Donald.
I'm Jared.
And today, it's time for another Superhero Smackdown. And we have three very compelling battles. One is the Battle of Light and Dark. Another is the Battle of Nationalistic Pride, the Soviet Union versus Canada. And the other, the Battle of Two No-Nonsense Super Teams. Fellas, this is going to get really ugly.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I've heard some of the matchups already, and I'm very intrigued.
I suspect these are going to be three very bloody battles.
Yeah. Mine feelings are going to get hurt.
Aww.
Yeah. Now, there'll be blood, too, but mainly feelings.
Well, just so you know, yeah. You matter to us.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, and that's the fun of it all.
All right, so who's going to start?
I think you should start first.
So. I think I should, too. I feel it.
I'm feeling this nationalistic pride in me, you know. I want to see how this goes down.
All right. Boxing Day.
So I just came up with the setup. I definitely had a theme because right now, you know, I'm going to get current with our politics. But who's going to save America? Canada. We knew it was going to finally happen. Canada's coming. Trudeau's like, Alpha Flight, get in there.
So is it Terrence and Phillip?
Exactly. Terrence and Phillip. All their flapping Canadian heads.
That's a fox.
Yeah. You're such an uncle fucker, Soviet super soldiers. So the Soviet super soldiers consist of, and I kind of took the original teams for both of these and then added who I had to in between.
I'm going
to
be honest. I know nothing about the Soviet super soldiers.
That's why
team.
These are fun. They're nothing. Fun. They first appeared, I think, in like an early Hulk. Issue. They're always fun. I always like them. I always like because they had some mutants on their team. They have so they have kind of a weird setup of a team. They have Crimson Dynamo, who is pretty much the Russian Iron Man.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So he's a pretty badass. He's like weaponized. He's like I just said. He's long story short. He's the Russian Iron Man. We have the mutant twins or brother sister. I'm not sure if they're twins, but I think they are. And we're gonna have a lot of brothers and sisters today, by the way.
Indeed.
Brothers and sisters. Darkstar. Darkstar has complete control over dark energy, dark matter. She can use it to teleport. She can use it to create solid objects out of dark energy light. She's pretty badass.
Ooh.
Her brother Vanguard has an interesting power. He has the mutant power to create a force shield around him and able to repel anything. If he puts his arms together and he has the hammer and sickle, because he's old school Soviet Russia, he could repel anything, pretty much.
But he has to get his arms together.
I don't know if he has to cross it. They say he can use it also for flight to kind of propel him like a force shield. And I think it gives him some super strength.
Huh.
We have Red Guardian, who I thought when I used to read him was, you've seen him before. He looks like Steel from the All-Star Squadron, the old Steel.
Yeah.
He's basically the Russian Captain America.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't have a super soldier serum or anything. He's just a really skilled fighter with a shield.
Oh.
So that's Red Guardian.
Okay.
We'll see how long he lasts.
So he's like DC's Guardian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then we have Titanium Man, who's yet almost another Iron Man. But he's in more of a bulkier suit, which gives him, I believe, more strength. He does have, it's all weaponized, he can fly in it and stuff like that, but it's like huge. It's a huge
less agility,
suit.
More strength.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then last we have Ursa Major, who I love. He's a mutant too. He can turn into a bear.
Really?
But like a big,
makes sense.
Yeah, big, strong grizzly bear. Mm. Like super strong grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we have Alpha Flight. On that team we have Guardian. Guardian, James Hudson, he has that power suit. It's got a force field. It can shoot off immense force energy blasts. It could fly at great speeds. It's a pretty badass suit. Then you have the twins again, brother and sister, Aurora and North Star. They both have super speed, super flight. They can both generate... Aurora, I think, more than North Star can generate light as a projectile, or I don't think she can really form anything with it, but she can shoot it, fire it, and when they hold hands, they can blind the shit out of you and emit like a crazy, you know, the North Star, the Aurora.
Gotcha.
And fly at super speeds. Then we have Sasquatch, super strength, big
it's like
dude.
A big old grizzly
yeah.
bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder who he's gonna fight.
Exactly. Then you have Shaman, or Shaman, or however you want to say it. He's interesting. He's got
in the toilet paper.
He's got toilet paper, but it's magical. No, he's got a medicine bag that he could kind of conjure up almost anything he needs, which is pretty vague. But I guess it comes in handy.
Like a magician with a top hat.
Exactly. Then we have Snowbird. She's quite foursome. She's got flight, healing, super strength, and she can shapeshift into any Arctic animal. Pretty much any animal that's got white fur, like a wolverine that's white, a polar bear, and then we'll get into some other things because she's also very close to magic. She's very, she's almost like a goddess in a sense.
Oh, okay.
Is this like magic with the soul sword?
Different. She's like literally like a force of nature kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
And then last we have Puck.
Oh, I love Puck.
The pint-sized fighter, but he's got super strength. He's a skilled fighter, skilled agility, and I think he's got, like, he's long-lived.
He was also in that one X-Men cartoon, animated series cartoon.
That's right. Most of this team is the X-Men cartoon team. Great episode, but it was one of my favorites. All right, so they're going to do battle. So first off, we have Crimson Dynamo versus Guardian and Puck. Now, Crimson Dynamo and Guardian, it's going to obviously take to the air.
That's an interesting one. I would not have seen... Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So Crimson Dynamo, from all intents and purposes, he's up there with Iron Man, but he's not as formidable as Iron Man. He's definitely, like, a badass, and he's got power and stuff like that. So I say these guys take to the air. I believe, I don't know why, but I would just think Guardian would have... He's just more maneuver. He's not in armor. He's got a battle suit, and it's more like it's almost like skin tight. So I could see him flying more. He's got these immense energy blasts. I see him grounding Dynamo at one point, you know, just blasting him down to the ground. And this is going back and forth for a while, and they're flying around like two jets and all that. He goes to the ground. Puck, the little acrobatic man that he is, climbs onto one of his boot jets and crushes it. So now he's completely grounded because he does have super strength. As he's grounded and dealing with Puck, Guardian does a full-on crazy charge blast, just blows a hole through Crimson Dynamo. Crimson Dynamo's out. Then we have the Brother Sisters. We have Darkstar and Vanguard versus Aurora and Northstar. Mm. Aurora and Northstar join hands, and they're blinding the shit out of all these people. Darkstar, Vanguard repels the light energy. Darkstar encases Aurora in a prison and pretty much just suffocates her. Because she's got complete... Aurora's got light energy powers, but Darkstar is, like, the dark force. She encases her into it. Northstar sees this, just sees his sister get killed, comes around, charges her, breaks her back from behind, just, like, full speed ahead, just cracks her. She's dead. Vanguard's like, "You motherfucker!" But in Russian. And Northstar's like, "Eh, French-Canadian." Flies at him, and he's like, "Come at me, bro!" Vanguard does his little repulsor thing. Boom. Fucking Northstar's paced.
Can you say that in Russian?
What?
Can you say that in Russian?
The whole thing?
He just says, "Нет." That's all I know.
Okay.
And "До свидания." So Darkstar is out. Aurora is out. Northstar is out. Vanguard is alive. Then we have Snowbird versus Red Guardian. This is so quick, it's not even funny. Snowbird just becomes a little like snow arctic owl, gouges out his eyes, becomes a wolverine, and rips him apart. Because all Guardian is just a dude who can fight good. Like, maybe, yeah, he gets, luckily, could get a hit. But she's, like, straight-up magic goddess. It's not fucking going to be doing much to her. So no. That was probably the quickest one. Then we have Ursa Major versus Sasquatch. Ursa Major, we got the bear. We got a big, it's a big hairy thing. There's a lot of hair, fur balls going around. The fact of the matter is, Ursa Major is tough, but Sasquatch has gone toe-to-toe with the Hulk and some other guys. So I see this just becoming a really bloody bestial fight with, at the end, it's just a broken, battered Ursa Major. And then last, we have Titanium Man versus Shaman. Now, Shaman, yeah, he can come up and, like, for instance, in the X-Men cartoon, he was like, "You're not going anywhere," and he pulled out his stick and touched it, and, like, weeds came and grabbed Wolverine. And then Wolverine, like, ripped him out, and I'll never forget this. He just threw the weeds at Shaman's face, and that knocked him down. And I was like, from that point on, I was like, you know, I haven't read a ton of Alpha Flight, but that doesn't really bode well for Shaman as being, like, a really tough guy.
All right.
And, no weeds, my one weakness. Yeah. So I see Shaman pulling some stuff like that, like, you know, "I will ground you to the earth," and trying to get some, like, tree shit to come up and grab Titanium Man. And then Titanium Man just, like, shoulder-mounted rocket. And then there goes Shaman.
So basically, Titanium Man, all he has to do is take some garbage, throw it on the ground, wait for the Shaman to start crying, and then just end
it. He's like, "Why did you destroy my earth? You should be cleaning this up." And he's like, "How about this?" And he rips off his head.
Right, yeah.
And then no more tears. So as we have it right now, going into round two.
Could be a trail.
We have of the Soviet super soldiers still standing, we have Titanium Man and Vanguard. Of Alpha Flight, it's the scales are quite turned in their favor. There's Guardian, Puck, Snowbird, and Sasquatch.
Not bad.
Now, Guardian is pretty beat up from that aerial battle and armor battle with Crimson Dynamo. I'm thinking that leaves him susceptible. Titanium Man is just like, you're not, you know, I'm fresh off my kill of the sad native guy over here, yeah. And you're next. So, wears him down. Once again, shoulder-mounted rocket, repulsor rays of his kind. Guardian's out. I see Puck in the thick of this, just not finding his ground as well. Nothing against little people. You know, I think he's great. But I can see Titanium Man just also just squishing him, because Titanium Man is pretty ruthless. But then you have Snowbird and Sasquatch. Now, I was kind of cheating here. I didn't mention that Snowbird can also not only channel all the Arctic animals, she could channel the magic ones, too. She's been known to turn into the Wendigo, which has gone toe-to-toe with Hulk and Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
And she could also become the embodiment of what Sasquatch becomes, Tanarak, which is, once again, almost like another, like a Yeti, like an abominable
right.
snowman.
Yeah.
So pretty much now you have two Sasquatches, and or a Sasquatch and a Wendigo, versus Titanium Man and Vanguard. Vanguard's repulsing thing, yeah, that's going to work for a little bit until he just gets a shit beat out of him and then his heart ripped out. And then Titanium Man's going to get... Inside Titanium Man is Gremlin, who's that little... he's a little midget bald guy with a big brain. So there's a dude in there. So I can see Wendigo just ripping in there and ripping him to shreds.
Is that kind of like Total Recall? What's that thing?
Watto? Yeah. So basically, winner, Alpha Flight, last standing, Snowbird, Sasquatch. Basically, they start the reactor, Quaid, and we go to Total Recall. No. But yeah, I just see it as, at the end of the day, they're just outmatched. You got too much magic versus a lot of science and dead mutants. So yeah, I go winner, Alpha Flight.
Okay.
All right.
And America.
Yes.
Well, Canada first.
Yeah, I know, but
right.
But they're so nice, they would give it to us.
America.
Yeah. They would give it to us.
Maple syrup before hot dogs.
Oh, maple. Yeah. Maple candy. Yeah. Any type of maple candy, I'm in.
What does he say in Twin Peaks? He says, the taste sensation of when maple syrup collides with ham.
That's good.
It's good.
Maple cream sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, maple donuts. Oh, love maple. Maple. Did they make a maple ice? I think they do make a maple ice cream. I think I've had it, and it was amazing. I just blocked it out because I couldn't eat too much of it or I would die.
I know. I've yet to try. You know what? I think I've tried a donut with it, but they have those maple donuts with the bacon bits on them.
Yeah.
Those always look good.
Yeah, you can get those at Universal at the Simpsons area. Yeah, in there. And they've got these giant maple bacon donuts. I mean, they're like huge. They're like the size of a baseball cap. You know, they're just ginormous. I had bigger than that.
I had one time in my life where I just did not give a fuck about what I ate. And I was really, I still am big into Elvis. So I'm like, I'm going to try that peanut butter bacon. what was it? Yeah, it was like a peanut butter bacon matchup. And it was so good, but I'm sure I have an artery clogged somewhere deep inside me that's just waiting to kill
probably.
Me one day. Yeah.
Probably. I have one thing on this. I actually agree with 99.9% of this. The only thing that I would do is I wouldn't... Puck does have a little big man syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I don't see Puck, like, wanting to so much share.
Right.
So I think he would go after, was it the Guardian guy?
Right.
I think he'd go after him.
Oh, wait, no, Guardian's on the team.
The other guy. The one with the shield.
Red Guardian.
Red Guardian.
Yeah. Close enough.
Oh, I could see
go
that.
After Red Guardian.
I can see that.
And that would be, to me, that would be a decent fight, but Puck would still take it.
Right.
So who was fighting Red Guardian? It was that,
Snowbird. Which was completely outmatched. He was so outmatched.
So then, in essence, then it would put Snowbird and Guardian against
Crimson Dynamo.
Crimson Dynamo.
Which would be even quicker.
Right.
Yeah.
But that might also... reveal her hand as being able to turn into, like, a Wendigo.
Right.
And would maybe give the other, who's the other big metal guy?
Titanium Man,
kind of a heads up, like, oh, okay.
Right.
And Titanium Man, while he's fighting Shaman.
Right.
easily defeating him, he could easily fire off a few her way,
right,
incapacitate her, and maybe switch things around a little bit to where at the end it would be just maybe Sasquatch and Titanium Man.
That would be pretty badass.
Near the end, and yeah, the two of them fighting organic versus metal.
Right.
You know,
that's
and,
pretty badass.
And maybe and I could, I like the idea, and I really like to see Sasquatch take it. I really right. would. I don't know if that's necessarily happened.
Right.
I think at this point, it's so close, but I would tip it in favor of Sasquatch just because I like Alpha Flight so much.
Right.
But I think that would make it like a really epic. Also, just one-on-one.
How badass would it be, too, to just see him ripping out this dude from the armor of Titanium Man and be like, nah!
And right, just like, and then, rip. Like, biting his yeah. head off or just tearing yeah. it off. Yeah, and throwing it.
Oh,
and
man.
Being like, that's for, you know, this is for America.
Or wait, I mean, in this case, Canada.
Our friends.
Yeah. You're welcome, America. That's how it ends. They turn around and they're like, you're welcome, America.
You know, I have a question for you. One thing I'm surprised, how come Omega Red's not part of this team? He would be perfect.
He would, but he's never been a member. There's like a list of the Sylvia Super Soldiers.
He's just not part of it, Kevin.
Yeah.
He should be, man.
Look, if I was doing 90s X-Men villains versus Alpha Flight.
If Omega Red was part of that team,
it would be another story.
It'd be another story.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. You got to deal with the cards you're dealt.
I'm sure there's a rabid like Alpha Flight fan who right now is going like, yeah, that's great, Alpha Flight 1, but how dare you talk about Shaman like that? He is so much more formidable than the weeds. Which is probably true. He was like a mystic and shit. But when they describe his powers, it's so, like, blurry.
If you're dealing with, like, weak mysticism yeah. versus strong science,
yeah,
oftentimes strong science is going to take
out.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, Shaman was never, from what I always, you know, and I didn't read a ton on him. I've read quite a bit of Alpha Flight, but, or enough, but, like, I've never seen him, he always seemed to have to, like, kind of conjure, you know, like, build it up, like, put the spells together
right.
and stuff like that. He wasn't just like Doctor Strange, where he can just, like,
right.
call
and
upon
even,
a spell.
Even Doctor Strange was susceptible to strong science.
Right.
That was one of his right. primary weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Strong science can take out Doctor Strange. Not much else can. I mean, he beat the Hulk, for
right.
God's sakes.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Shaman, there's just no, yeah. Even if he was a little stronger,
right.
I still don't see that happening.
Right. Well, on behalf of America, we thank you, Alpha Flight, for saving us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Alpha Flight.
In my made-up fight. All right, who All should right. we go to next? Yeah?
I'll go.
To another crazy team.
Yes, this one is pretty big here. I am going with the 1990s X-Force versus the mostly the New 52 Suicide Squad.
Interesting, interesting.
So I chose certain members for each teams for the matchup. Now, on the X-Force side, I chose Cable, the leader, of course, Domino, Cannonball, Boom Boom, Shatterstar, Siren, Feral, Warpath, and Sunspot.
Crazy team.
Crazy team. On the mm-hmm. Suicide Squad, I chose Deadshot, Deathstroke, Reverse Flash, the Prime Earth Daniel West, because he was part of it for a time during the New 52.
Okay.
Captain Boomerang, Black Manta, Harlequin, Cheetah, Parasite, and El Diablo.
I'm curious, because right now this sounds way overpowered on one level, in my opinion, so far.
It seems
so
that
I'm
way.
Curious.
That's a little nuts. I didn't even know half those people were on the Suicide Squad. What were they doing during the New 52?
Exactly.
They're doing some crazy stuff.
My yeah. God, were they just throwing people like against yeah. a wall mm-hmm. and see what stuck?
Yeah.
Come on. At least in the 80s, the Suicide Squad, Ostrander was like, look, this is my core.
This
and
my
occasionally
core.
We'll add in people. We'll pepper it here and there. And
yeah.
Some people will come and go, but this is my core.
Yeah.
This just sounds like madness.
It is madness, and this is why I did the match. This is controversial. This is a crazy
this
mix-up.
Is madness.
It's madness, but hey, this is why we call it Superhero Smackdown, because sometimes it's a mad mix.
All right, hit us.
All right. This is my little scenario I played out in my crazy Kevinian mind. I have Mr. Misplictic and Mojo teaming up to have this superhero tournament of death on Mojo World.
Okay.
And, you know, Mojo loves to broadcast stuff on his TV stations and whatnot.
True.
So, basically, the winner, obviously, between DC and Marvel, whoever wins, they get certain things. So, Mojo gets the fifth dimension that Mr. Misplictic is from. He gets the
action. Some good TV in that fifth dimension.
Wow.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mr. Mitch Tex Pedelix, or whatever the hell his name is, he better win.
He better win. And if Mr. Plectix team wins, then he gets Mojo World, he gets the TV broadcast, and he gets his worshipful followers at that Power Mojo. So he takes all that from him.
And he gets a new bowler hat.
And a new bowler hat, of course.
So Mr. Mechcheck Cumberbatch versus Mojo.
Mojo.
Both their teams against each other. Okay, I got it. Yes. All right.
All right. So we're going to do round one, the first round. I have Deadshot versus Domino. Very similar powers. Both are super accurate. I see it playing out as they're having an exchange of gunfire, but no one's really connecting because they're just, in a weird way, they're so good, it's just not working. They're just canceling each other out. But then once they go into their super abilities and start locking in on their super abilities, I believe that they end up killing each other. They just end up shooting each other in the eye at the same exact time. Boom. Dead draw. Done.
Okay.
So they're both eliminated.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. All right, so now we have Cable versus Deathstroke, and I know, Donald, you are a big fan.
Yes, you better tread carefully on this one.
This is going to be controversial nonetheless, because both these guys are really good. And to me, you know, I use my chess versus checkers theory.
They don't call him the Terminator for nothing, Kevin.
You got that right.
They don't call him the Ascani son for nothing either.
You got that right, too. So, funny that you two mentioned this.
The Ascani son.
It's funny you two mentioned this, and he's a chosen one.
That's right.
These two, it's chess versus chess. There's no checkers involved. These two guys are good, so they're going at it. I mean, first it's a gun battle. They're shooting at each other left and right. They're dodging. They're engaging in hand-to-hand combat, which is just outstanding because both of these guys are excellent hand-to-hand combat. They're punching each other. They're kicking each other. I mean, it's a great battle. But when it's all said and done, I believe Cable has the edge.
Ah!
Because of his...
We're already going to have discrepancies.
His telekinesis...
It's going to be a fight.
And his telepathy, I believe he could take over and actually freeze Deathstroke's body. Actually just basically use his mutant abilities to just basically freeze him and just basically just shut his body down. Even though I know Deathstroke used 90% of his brain, he can shut it down. Like Xavier can shut down Magneto's brain back in Fatal Attraction. He can actually do stuff like that. Cable is capable when he concentrates. He can shut down Deathstroke. And once he does that, it's a wrap. Cable has him. Like I said, it won't be easy. But
no, that would be definitely bloody.
But it will be a bloody fight. But Cable, like I said, he has that edge. And I believe this is where poor Deathstroke will meet his fate.
I'd actually pay for a graphic novel of just those two fighting.
That'd be awesome.
From beginning to end.
I'm actually writing one. So sorry. It'll be available soon. It's $100.
It's $100.
It's stick figures.
DC and Marvel have not okayed any of this.
No.
But it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Then we have Cannonball versus Reverse Flash. Cannonball.
Now, we've talked about Cannonball before, right?
In a previous podcast.
Okay, yeah.
This isn't going to go too well for poor Mr. Cannonball. Cannonball will propel himself using his mutant power, but when he does that, he's fallen right into a trap that the Reverse Flash has set up with him. Reverse Flash uses his electrokinesis and electromagnetism to freeze and kill Cannonball with his sharp claws appendages, because this particular Reverse Flash has...
His claws?
Yeah, this particular Reverse Flash has, like, these claw appendages attached to him.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, if you look it up, you'll see. Yeah, he looks different from Professor Zoom, so he has little slight differences.
Okay.
So basically, he kills Cannonball. He's done. Then we have another interesting matchup here.
So when he kills Cannonball, it would be so quick, it's like that battle didn't happen. So Reverse Flash is already available for somebody else to fight.
Yes, he will be. But since this is controlled by Mojo Misplictum, once the battle's over, they take him. Remember, this is a tournament, so they're in control. So once someone kills somebody, they take them and put them in.
So Chex Mix Super Snatch uses his powers and pulls them all away from the Mojo TV. Yes. And then, got it.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's a TV show. All right, we got this, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after these messages, so after the round is complete.
Okay, fair enough.
You know? All right, and then our next one I have is Black Manta versus Shatterstar, which is an also interesting matchup.
Sorry, I'm showing a picture of Daniel West.
Yeah, see?
Wow. He's pretty creepy looking.
Yeah, he is. He looks different. Yeah,
my God.
He looks different from Professor Zoom.
If I saw him coming my way, I would cry.
I bet you win.
Yep.
Now, Black Manta and Shatterstar, they go at it pretty much.
Who?
Shatterstar and Black Manta. And Black Manta, we know, He's one of Aquaman's greatest villains. A very skilled.
The greatest villain.
Yeah.
The greatest villain.
Very skilled.
One of my favorite suits, too. He's got an awesome suit.
Did you know he's black under that suit?
Yes,
beautiful.
He is.
Beautiful and black.
Yeah.
Yes.
They just cast him in the movie, and the actor is awesome. He's the guy from The Get Down. One of the actors from The Get Down.
Oh, nice.
This guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, no. This guy's solid.
Well, Shatterstar is a swordsman. He's also a skilled weapons man, much like Black Manta is. And these two engage in also a similar Cable Deathstroke type battle. They're going at it. They're cutting each other up. They're doing their thing. Now, you're going to hate me, Donald, on this one. I'm giving it to Shatterstar only because one of his powers, he can use an X-shaped, he can use an X-shaped to portal to teleport people to other dimensions or other places. I didn't even know this until I did my research. Shatterstar is like one of his extra abilities, so he could actually teleport Black Manta. Actually, I have him teleporting Black Manta into a star and just burn him to a crisp.
He could do that math teleportation?
Yes, yes.
How far can Shatterstar teleport? Come on now. Nightcrawler can't teleport to another dimension.
But this dude's good.
Shatterstar can do other dimensions.
Hey, well, let's you can look at my...
my God. All right, keep going.
Then I have Harley Quinn versus Siren. This one also...
That's a random one.
It's a random one, but you know what? I had to put these two ladies together.
No, that was like my New Mutant, my Karma versus Starfire. I was like, well, you guys got matched up. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Now, people are gonna hate me for this one, too. As smart as Harley Quinn is, Siren isn't playing around. She lets out a sonic scream immediately and explodes Harlequin. So Harlequin doesn't even have a chance. It's already over before Harlequin even says a word. Hey!
Yeah, that's
cool. Boom. Yeah. Done.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, Joker's... She's pudding. Exactly. Now, we have another good one. Feral versus Cheetah.
That's a good one.
Now, both are similar.
You better get this right.
I think you'll like this outcome. This is similar to that Sasquatch matchup, you know, where it's just these...
Furry animals going at it.
Yeah. This is a brutal, ferocious cat fight, if you've ever seen one.
Who's Cheetah's number one foe in the
Wonder
comics?
Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need to say anymore here.
But still, regardless, it's still Feral puts up a good fight. But yes, that's the reason why I did choose Cheetah as the winner, because Cheetah has fought the likes of Wonder Woman, where Feral has not fought anyone like that. But Feral, bless her heart, does the best she can, but unfortunately, Cheetah snaps her neck, and it's over for her.
Wow. Vicious.
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 Next one I have is Captain Boomerang versus Boom Boom.
Now, I don't know Boom Boom at all. To be honest, what's Boom Boom's powers?
You can tell. I know.
Boom Boom, she basically can create like these plasma orbs and just throw them at you.
When she can time them, too.
And she can time them, too.
She can be like 3, 2, 1, boom.
So, what I have in this, you're going to like this, Boomerang's prepared for this. So, when Boom Boom throws one of those plasma orbs, Captain Boomerang has the ability to turn those orbs, because he can create energy boomerangs, but what he does is he turns those orbs from Boom Boom into energy boomerangs and sends it right back at her, killing her.
He could turn energy into boomerangs now?
Yeah.
Is that a new 52?
Yes, it's like a new ability.
And he's like, I got that, Sheila.
Yep.
Strength!
So Boomerang takes care of Boom Boom.
I love Boomerang.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
He's so stupid. Like, if you think about it.
Oh, he's stupid?
I'm the villain that throws boomerangs,
Yeah.
You know, Bob. It's just...
His origin was he was, like, working for, like, a toy guy who made Boomerang. He was, like, the mascot for, like, the Boomerang company. That's how he started. And then he became a supervillain.
Makes sense.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to keep this outfit, and I'm going to start my villain career. All right.
All right. Next one's Parasite versus Warpath. Warpath, a great fighter, superhuman strength, all that good stuff. But unfortunately, when you go against the Parasite, and what the Parasite does best, and what I have him do, I have Warpath not knowing better. He just attacks first, and he gets his powers absorbed, and his own super strength used against him, and gets his back broken. And that's the end of Warpath, unfortunately.
That's a quick one, yeah.
And then the last one in this first round is El Diablo versus Sunspot. Okay. Now, El Diablo has pyrokinesis powers. But Sunspot is a little more powerful. Sunspot has the ability to absorb solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have happen. Sunspot just simply absorbs El Diablo entirely.
Okay. That's kind of badass. I like that.
And converts his powers to be used later in the next battle, in the next round.
It's also literally vice versa of what just happened between Warpath and Parasite.
Yes.
If you have Sunspot trying to overpower and explode Parasite in the next round, I'll give you a pat on the head. If that happens.
We have something to that,
though. All right, round two?
Round two is the quarterfinals.
Trying to keep track of this, because I've got already...
Yeah, the quarterfinals here.
Right? Right. We've got our issues.
Yeah. It's funny you mention it. I do have Sunspot versus Parasite. Okay. Sunspot uses converted powers against the Parasite. However, the Parasite, aware of this, absorbs Sunspot's solar energy and disintegrates him.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So he's done.
All right.
Then next I have in this quarterfinals matchup, Cable versus Cheetah. You gotta love this one. Cable uses a cybernetic eye, which is able to track people with
cheetahs. Speed.
Yeah. Well, in a way, yes. Like, he can use that to track movement. So,
right.
Versus people who are very quick, no problem. So, what he does is he just simply takes his time. He tracks Cheetah, who's, you know, I'm gonna get you, Cable. And when he has it right, boop, 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 boom, done. In the head, she's done. All
right.
Moving on. Captain Boomerang versus Siren. Now, Siren has these psionic powers. What I believe happens is when this could be controversial, because I know you're going to hate me for this. Siren uses her psionic powers to disable Captain Boomerang's boomerangs. But in this very epic battle when they're going at it, she severely damages her vocal cords in the process. So she wins the battle, but barely. But she's vulnerable for the next round.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have Shatterstar versus the Reverse Flash. And Reverse Flash, he's just too fast. Even though Shatterstar uses these vibratory shockwaves that come from his swords, and he even tries that X-shaped pearl that he used in the last round,
mm-hmm.
It's just not good enough. Because basically, Reverse Flash uses his Speed Force absorption to counter it and take him out.
And these Marvel guys, let's be honest, they have not seen anybody this fast.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah, there's no, like, super speedster. Because even, like, they always, like, would even say, like, Quicksilver was fast, but he was never, like...
He was never
Flash fast or did any crazy stuff.
I mean, maybe you put Silver Surfer against some of the Flash, you might have something going, because he moves at, like...
Well, he's, like, speed of light.
Yeah, speed of light. So Silver Surfer would probably be, like, a better matchup.
But can he go into, like, back in time and shit like that?
Depends how powered up... Depends how Galactus powered his ass up.
Yeah. True.
You know, depends how his...
Which, real quick... is why I did our first...
Power Cosmic's no joke.
We didn't mention it before, but why I did my first team battle of Marvel versus Marvel, because it's so hard to go against DC, and
you
realizing...
You just have to think about it.
Yeah.
They're matches there. They're there. You just have to think about it. Matter of fact, one of the earlier podcasts, Magneto versus Superman, one I completely agreed with Donald on.
That's true.
Some people, I'm sure in the Super Palookas and other groups, will think that Donald's an idiot for doing that, but the way Donald explained it and broke it down, I thought it was brilliant.
No, I think we were all in agreement.
I am a genius.
On that one, you are. All right, now we're down to the semifinals. We have Siren versus Reverse Flash and Cable versus Parasite.
Okay.
All right, Siren versus Reverse Flash. Once again, the Speed Force is just too much.
And she's already injured.
Her vocal cords are jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries every little bit she has to...
And she can only fly by using her sonic scream like her dad.
And by the way, she barely can take off.
Yeah.
And Reverse Flash, he's still fresh.
Yeah.
He's still fresh.
And clean.
And
so
clean.
So fresh and clean
that in his semifinal matchup, it's a wrap.
Yeah, that's
Siren's
a quick
done.
One.
It's a quick one. Now, for our final semifinal matchup, Cable versus Parasite. Now, this is where I get to my chess versus checkers theory.
Mm-hmm.
Cable is a very brilliant man. Genius level.
He's the Ascani son.
He's lived in different timelines. He's from 2,000 years in the future. He has different technologies, different tactics.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows about the Parasite. He observed when he was in his little cage in between fights. He knows what...
They can observe each other? Yes. Oh, well, this is news to me.
Well, I'm sorry. But, you know, hey, you're a little cage. You can kind of see that. What the
hell? Right, your fight's done. Stasis chamber.
Yeah. Stay in your chamber.
You watch. You watch what I'm doing.
Hey, and by the way, the TV ratings on Mojo Television is just skyrocketing through this crazy battle. And Mr. Bliplectic is just tickled.
Metalix Puddlebox.
Yes. he's tickling with glee, you know?
Okay.
Mr. M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't know his name.
Mix it back.
That's right. So Cable's smart. He keeps his distance. He's not going to let Parasite get anywhere near him. Matter of fact, he starts using his telekinesis to throw objects at him to keep him away. He uses telekinesis. He even uses his telepathy to get into the Parasite's mind. Manipulates him to, you know, kind of like, hey, calm down, buddy, you know. And he uses telekinesis to throw objects at him. He takes one of his many varieties of weapons to basically neutralize and shut the parasite
deep,
down.
Dude, that's deep.
Yeah. Shoot the Parasite down. So Cable wins this one.
Okay.
And now
that's the final right here, huh?
Now we're in the championship round.
Oh jeez.
And Mojo and Mr. Mispliktik, they come down to observe this final matchup between the Reverse Flash and Cable.
You just want Mojo in the fifth dimension. That's all you want from the start.
You want to see some fifth dimension reality TV.
Yeah. Yes. Now Cable, again, being the chess player, he thinks ahead. In the background, no one knew, not even Mr. Mispliktik or Mojo, he had Gray Mulkin hidden in the background. He uses one of his communicators to bring Gray Mulkin in to immediately remove the Reverse Flash.
The hell's that?
Like now explain Gray Mulkin for the people who don't know.
Lice removal shampoo?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's his ship, right?
Yeah, Gray Mulkin is like the ship. I don't know if you remember the X-Men cartoon. Remember the episode where Cable came from the future? He had like that big ship that he was using?
Sure.
To transport him around from time and dimensions and whatnot.
Okay.
Gray Mulkin is a very powerful ship, and it connects to like Cable's computer.
Sounds like cheating to me, but okay.
Well, shoot, you gotta do what you gotta do. What about Reverse Flash? You call that cheating too?
Well, he's just fast. How's that cheating? That's his power.
Well, shoot.
He doesn't have a ship.
Gray Mulkin is connected to Cable's technogorganic, you know, being. It's connected to him, you know.
Okay.
So shoot, you know, and he has all these different, you know, he has different little computers attached to him and whatnot. So look,
part of his Apple Watch.
It's like part of his Apple Watch.
He's like, hey Siri, bring me Gray Mulkin.
Yeah, so Gray Mulkin is brought into the phrase, is brought into the fray, and it is used to basically capture Reverse Flash, kind of like freeze him, you know, prevent him from like doing anything.
Stasis beam.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stasis beam, exactly.
Sounded like a Dalek to me. Exterminate.
Exterminate.
Okay.
So he's kept in stasis, and Cable decides, should I kill him or not? He chooses not to. Instead, he says, look, you know what? We've been had here. We're not going to let these two jackasses.
I just see a gladiator moment right now. Like, are you not satisfied?
yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like talks to Daniel West. And Daniel West is not as like a totally evil jackass. He reasons with him. He's like, look, this is ridiculous. You know, we don't have to like fight and kill each other for these clowns or for these TV ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So they agree to, you know what? Yeah, we don't need to do this anymore. So the two just team up and take out Mojo and Mr. Mipplicta and kind of end their little charade. And then they use Gray Mulkin to go back in time and also the Speed Force to kind of reverse everything that happened. So everyone's brought back to life.
And then they all have a McDonald's Happy Meal together.
Aww. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
But yes. Now, some people might be upset for I didn't have these two just kill each other, but I figured, you know what, let's...
So is it a draw?
Yes, in that respect, I guess it would be, although if you wanted to use just by using the brainy thing and say, hey, Cable neutralize Reverse Flash with Gray Mulkin. But to avoid any bloodshed, because Cable, again, he's smart. He knows what's
Cable
going on.
Cable cheated in order to win, therefore making it a tie?
If you want to say that, but no. If I want to give a winner here, I would say Cable won. Yes, you want to say he cheated? Fine. He cheated. But
he
Cable...
cheated. He definitely cheated. There's cheating that happened.
Fine.
You bring an outside source into the gameplay, you cheat.
But technically,
it's like
part
deflating
of
the ball to win a game.
But
I'm not saying it's ever been done, but if you did that, you are a cheating team and you don't deserve to win a Super Bowl.
Again.
Wow, man, you can't get over that Super Bowl, can you?
Okay, so most of those I could kind of go with.
I guess.
My only, let me see, I'm going to go back. The Deadshot Domino. Deadshot, from what I remember, at least in the office, I don't know the new 52 because I'm not going to lie. That shit pissed me off and I tuned the fuck out.
It pissed me off too after a while. Yeah,
I tried to get in on it. And in fact, one of the only books I read at first was Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But Deadshot doesn't have powers. He's just like he's like the best marksman in the DC.
He never misses.
Yeah. Domino has kind of that luck.
Everything
falls into place.
The
like
luck
a Domino.
Thing, right.
But I still am going Deadshot's just more skilled from just stuff I've seen.
I mean, I could totally go with, yeah, they blow each other's brains out.
The drop, they time it right, yeah. Boom, they take each other out.
All
right,
so I don't know. I don't really have an argument with that one, because that could go either way.
I know you have a problem with Cable versus Deathstroke. At least it seems like Donald did. Because you're like, Kevin, you tread lightly here, buddy. Tread lightly.
I have two problems, but we'll wait.
Yeah. Deathstroke, Cable. It's not that I can't see Cable...
Winning,
it's just...
Deathstroke took down the entire Justice League, and the only way he was defeated by Green Arrow shooting him in the fucking eye.
Right. But that was because also Green Arrow was dirty enough to fight that way, because the other guys were like, they just don't go that way.
But if you're dealing with a Cable that doesn't want the bloodshed and is willing to freeze the Flash in order to escape and turn back time and whatever that shit's
if
about,
I could turn then back time.
Are you still dealing with somebody like that?
Yeah.
You know,
but sometimes Cable just does what he has to do.
He's a soldier.
Yeah. He'll play dirty when he needs to play dirty, but he also plays, you know.
Right. But he doesn't have a super brain. He has futuristic experience, which I get. I get that.
He's the son, don't forget, he's the son of Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Well, that means nothing to me.
Well, yes, it means something to me.
Did I say he's the Ascani son?
Hey, he's the Ascani son. I know you haven't read a lot of that stuff, but trust me, it means a lot. This guy is no joke.
If you're doing Cable around this time in X-Force 2, he was ruthless.
Yes, that's true.
Because I don't know if you remember the story with where like they had the problems with the Morlocks, and he had Shatterstar like decapitate Mask.
Yeah, decapitate, that's true.
So... at the end, if he did have Reverse Flash in that position, I would just see him like being like, well, if this gets my team out of here, you know, like I could just see him.
Well, in this case, it's not his own team left. Yeah, I guess his team is gone. No team left. Everyone's dead.
Well, then he'd avenge him. But it's not that I'm like completely. The only one I would say would go way faster is, I mean, I still agree with what you said. Cheetah versus Feral. Cheetah, and I only know this because I actually looked it up, because she was just announced as a new character in Injustice 2, which makes me want to buy this thing even more. Not that I'm a huge Cheetah fan, but I think she's cool. Mm-hmm. But she goes toe-to-toe with Wonder Woman because she stole her powers from, like, a goddess. Like, they're...
That's true.
So she would just... It would just be, like, Feral, like an evil cat fight with a kitten.
Right.
She'd grab her and just, like, rip her heart out.
So, right. that would basically be like a lion versus, like, an alley cat.
Exactly.
And it'd be over.
Yeah.
If that.
Well,
cheetah versus an alley cat.
I had to make it a little interesting, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just give Feral a little chance, you know, hang in for about 5 minutes before the inevitable occurs.
Right, but that's still on the side of what Kevin decided.
Yeah. Exactly right.
By the way, I can tell you guys love my El Diablo sunspot scenario.
That one was great. I like that, and then I liked Parasite absorbing.
That's my problem right there.
Okay.
Parasite, when he absorbs people,
am
I incorrect that he doesn't gain their power?
It depends where you're go. In the Justice League episode, as far as the comics, he just made him stronger, and he absorbed. He became like a tick. Like you just get bigger and bigger,
right?
And strong. You almost become like a Hulk.
Okay.
So it just make him stronger. In that Justice League episode with like the Booster Gold one or whatever, I think it was that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a Justice League episode.
Something
where,
like that.
Where
yeah.
he did get all their powers. Like, he absorbed Plastic Man. He was like, Elongated Man. And was like using all their powers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I swore they did that in another comic book at some point.
Yeah.
So I would be on the side of leaning towards somebody that's able to absorb people,
right.
Like their energies and stuff, should be able to convert that power.
Right.
And to me, then, if he's one against somebody, he already has more power.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So when he goes up against someone like Cable, who's a tactician and a strategist, not knowing something that important to me could be deadly. Now, Cable's way smarter than the Parasite, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the Parasite's been alive for long enough to know what he should and shouldn't do and how he should and shouldn't do it. This guy's gone toe-to-toe with Superman and is still around.
Mm-hmm.
That says something to
me. Cable's gone against Apocalypse God knows how many times and still around. And Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which that's a whole other ballgame.
Yes.
Superman and Apocalypse, I think Superman takes that any day of the week. But, you know, that's just my humble opinion. But anyway...
Looks like we got another SmackDown.
I think we might.
I mean, my God, if you think Magneto can take out Superman, why not Apocalypse not have a chance?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm sorry. All right, well, it's just not possible.
Well, that'll be for a future...
It's just not possible.
A future debate.
But yeah, other than that, I think the whole matchups are pretty good, but I think that it's possible that the Parasite could have the edge.
Yes, yes,
because of that, yes. And he could take it, and that would turn the tide.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Captain Boomerang, who did he die against?
Siren, right?
Siren, yes.
Yeah.
Because that Sonic...
Right, which I can get, but if you have it so easily him to turn around powers, like orbs and stuff, why can't he turn around Sonic energy and just blast it back?
See, on Earth? I just plead the fifth on a lot of these, because I didn't know all their new 52 powers and shit.
Right,
like
right. And that's just what I'm going by right now, because I didn't know that either. But if he can do that, you can't say, well, I guess you could, but you can't say that he can reverse an orb, a power orb like that, but he can't reverse Sonic energy. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me that he can't convert either one. I could be wrong. I don't know.
The only one I'll say is because Boom Boom would literally, like, her things almost looked like the pellets from Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
She would, like, throw that, like, be like, 3, 2, 1. Like, so you could, like, I could see him catching those, whereas her Sonic stuff, it's technically, it is energy. So, I mean, yeah, if he can just reach and convert shit, then, yeah, he should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be the only negative against if it's just, if you can't really see
it. Well, maybe in my mind, the way I'm seeing it is, instead of, like you said, instead of throwing an orb, if someone just using pure energy, I was trying to imagine how could boomerangs do something against that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's where my mindset was on that battle.
Gotcha.
You know,
I mean, I could with that first one, Boom Boom, I could see him.
The orbs. Yeah, he could turn. He could
the orb. She would have two boomerangs in her back before she even thought the throw.
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
He doesn't wait around.
Yeah, right. No, he would. She'd be dead, or just a boomerang in her eye.
She's gonna hesitate for a second.
Right.
She's not as grizzled as he is. She hasn't been around as long as he has.
Right.
She's gonna have those boomerangs in her back. Her spine's gonna be severed. It's gonna be over before it begins.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, boomerang's fresh. He's cool. He's collected. He'll do that energy reversal thing in the next round. He'll take Songbird, which means Songbird can't take out who?
Songbird? Who's
or
the
word? Who? I'm sorry. Siren.
Siren, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so the Thunderbolts are in this one?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that way Siren can't take on the Reverse Flash. Or that's like the next match.
Right. Yeah. Siren would not be able to take on the Reverse Flash. The Reverse Flash would be fresher yet, even.
Yes, yes.
Would be maybe taken on somebody else.
And, so they can double-team Cable, essentially.
And, yeah, the Reverse Flash and...
Boomerang
and Parasite
against
Cable.
So 3-on-1. Well, good lord, that's where good old Gray Malkin comes in for some aid.
You're gonna have him freeze all three, so no matter what I say, I'm always wrong. I see how.
Plus,
this goes.
Campbell can body slide too. It's like
body slide that one, man. All they need is distract him long enough. Parasite gets a finger attached to his Achilles heel, and I can see that as being the way it goes. And that's
although it does make you wonder with that techno-organic virus, maybe you do make an interesting point. I wonder how that would work.
Well, also wasn't his Cable's thing. He would have been like a super powerful telekinetic if he didn't have the techno-organic.
He'd basically be like what Nate Gray was,
but he was holding himself together.
Holding himself together, yes.
So some of the things you had him do, I'm kind of wondering if he could do it at that level.
Right. If you took away his techno-organic, which matter of fact, you just gave me an idea. What if Parasite took away and actually absorbed the entire techno-organic virus and just got it out of Cable, and now you have that type of Cable, like
thanks,
Nate Gray,
dude.
Where he's like he's truly now the what he was supposed
pure
to become, basically
psionic.
Basically like what Strife was.
Yeah.
So basically curing.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, by accident, he accidentally cures Cable, and
and
now Cable is what he was meant to be.
It's like that scene in The Incredibles.
And now you're in trouble.
When Mr. Incredible throws out his back, and then he's getting like torn apart by the robot, and it actually fixes his back, and then he beats it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that, except with Cable.
It's just like that.
You know what? That's a great scenario. I'm surprised I didn't think about that before.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So you know what? Now this justifies a Cable victory. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Glad I can help.
Cable's basically now what Strife was, but even more powerful, and just takes out everybody.
Well, you gave Rob Liefeld a boner.
Oh, I know I did. Rob Liefeld, you need to thank me, sir. Yeah.
Is it Liefeld or Liefeld?
Liefeld.
Liefeld.
I think it's potato, potato.
Potato, potato, whatever.
Raw potato.
Raw potato.
I hope you get a nice potato boner from this.
All right, so now we're going to move on to Donald for the last but not least, probably the best matchup of all, in my opinion.
The dark and the light.
The battle of the light and the dark.
Dark, light, dark. Yeah. Yin and yang.
Break it down, sir.
Frickin' frack. Spick and span. Okay, so I have a nice little tag team event scheduled for this evening. In this corner, we have Marvel's Cloak and Dagger.
Nice.
Known for their street smarts and mutant abilities.
And their way to just kill a mood. That was like a really depressing book. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not happy.
It was just a downer.
They're not happy people.
No.
And in the other corner, I have the bastard children, so to speak. I have Obsidian and Jade.
Aww.
Are those like the children of Alan Scott?
They are the children of Alan
the
Scott.
The original Green Lantern.
The original Green Lantern, who his weakness was
wood.
Wood. And the cool thing about him was that a lot of people half people made pitch to. He's a southpaw. He's left-handed.
And you know the even funnier thing is later on when the New 52 came around, they made him gay.
And yeah, that's right.
Now his weakness really is wood.
I just remember that Jeff Johns JSA run where like that's how they immediately took him out. Somebody like shot him with like an arrow of wood and they're like, all right, Green Lantern's out now, you just move on. I was like, oh, there's your most powerful guy.
Yeah, that's over. Okay, so a little backstory. I know that like my guys might not be as well known as some of the others. Cloak and Dagger. So Cloak, who is named Tyrone Johnson, and Dagger, her name is Tandy Bowen. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're both they met in New York. They're both runaways. Tyrone at the time, I think he was like 17. They were both in Boston, I believe, or he was in Boston at the time. And, he was in Boston at the time, and he had a debilitating stutter.
That's right.
Poor guy.
That's right.
Couldn't quite spit it out. So he had a speech impediment that prevented him from stopping his closest friend from being shot by police, who mistook him for someone that had just robbed a store.
See? Depressing.
Right. Yeah. So he was like, he's dead. Yep, shot, dead. So he left and went to New York. And here's where it's a little different. Okay. Tandy was a 16-year-old girl from a privileged upbringing.
Yeah.
Who ran away because her multimillionaire supermodel, not enough that she had to be a multimillionaire, but also a supermodel mother, was just too busy with her career and social life to spend time with her daughter.
Poor Tandy.
Poor Tandy. You know, Tyrone, his best friend, gets shot and killed in front of him. But Tandy's mom just doesn't have time for her, so she runs away. So that shows what we're dealing with here. So Tandy's in this big city. Tyrone sees her. He's like, easy prey. Let me get that. I'm just going to take her money. And as he's about to, somebody else does.
Right.
And he's like, oh, shit. Okay, so what does any normal person do? They step in and they save the girl.
Right.
So instead of making her the victim of his own, you know, devices, he steps in and becomes a savior. So Tandy's like, oh my God, thank you. Let's go out to dinner. My treat. He's like, wow, free meal. And everybody knows you don't turn down a free meal.
No.
So they go out. They become fast friends. They're hanging out. They had dinner. They had a good time. Tandy then accepted an offer of shelter from some strange men. Tyrone.
Smart.
Yeah, Tyrone was a little weary of that. So he went along to protect her. The two teens were then basically abducted and forcibly delivered to a criminal chemist named Simon Marshall. Simon was developing a synthetic heroin for a guy named Silvermane and the Magi?
Magia.
Or Magia. Okay, thank you. And they were testing it on runaway teens. Basically, none of the teens had survived. They killed everyone that they tested it on. So they test it and inject it into Tyrone and Tandy, and they somehow survive the injection, which thereby gives them their powers.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, it gets retconned, and they say that the injection just opens up and awakens their latent mutant abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, whatever, they get injected, they get powers. So here's where we get to the powers with these two. Polk has the ability to create a porthole into the darkness dimension.
Mm-hmm.
It grants him intangibility and the power to teleport himself and others through the shadows anywhere and along with his makeshift cloak. So he opens his cloak, people can come in, and then they can come out through any type of shadow.
It's the same dark energy that Darkstar uses for her powers, because it's supposed to be, like, it's literally its own thing. It's called, like, the Dark Force.
Yeah.
And he can travel into that dimension, and he is it.
Later, like, revealed to be, like, a dark dimension type thing, like a demonic type
thing. How many people are have access to this ability?
As far as I know, there's Darkstar, Cloak, that guy, the Shroud. He was, like, a kind of obscure Marvel villain. Mm-hmm. No, Marvel, like, anti-hero guy or something. And then that guy Blackout, who is in that Masters of Evil story I was talking about, he can create.
There's like half a dozen, at least.
But they all manipulated it in different ways, like Cloak, for instance.
One downside to Cloak is that he feels a constant hunger,
right?
Much like a vampire, he has to have it satisfied by either someone giving him power, or by the life force of victims he absorbs into his darkness.
Right.
So if he finds somebody that's done horribly bad things, he would just absorb them into his cloak.
Lunch.
Right.
Yeah.
So Dagger, her power, she has the ability to create psionic light daggers.
Mm-hmm.
These daggers can drain the life force and vitality of her targets, and can also cure some people of their addictions to certain drugs, which I thought was very random and odd, but okay.
Yeah, they really played the drug runaway element for a long time in, like, the first series.
She can become easily overcharged. So her powers can, like, get way out of hand. And at times she needs to expend that energy. And how she does it is she shoots it at Dagger, or at Cloak.
And he's like, yeah.
Right. So she'll shoot her extra energy at Cloak. Basically satisfying his need, and it's kind of a symbiotic,
a vampiric need, but a symbiotic relationship.
Relationship. She gets what she needs from Cloak. He's protection and instability and stuff, and he gets to feed off of her,
right?
Which I think he gets the better end of the deal. To
he's
be
almost
honest,
like a good pimp in a way.
Cloak the pimp.
Yes. So that's the whole story with Cloak and Dagger. Now we're going to move on to a few of these cats here. Named Obsidian and Jade. Todd Rice, a.k.a. Obsidian, and Jenny Lynn Hayden, a.k.a. Jade, they're the, as we discussed, the biological children of Alan Scott. But what we didn't discuss is they're also the biological children of Rose Canton.
Rose and Thorn, right?
Yes, the villain Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Todd was raised in an abusive adoptive home, because basically neither one of them, I guess, wanted the kids, so whatever.
Yeah, what the fuck, Green Lantern?
Jade was adopted.
A nice guy, but
not so much. Jade was adopted by a couple living in the suburbs, so Jade had it good.
She's the Tandy of this group.
Right, yeah. Jade learned of her twin brother, Todd, when she was in her late teens, so they met up. They discovered they both had superpowers. Oh my god, you have superpowers too?
So do I.
Yeah. And operating under the assumption that Green Lantern was their father, they didn't know at the time, but they eventually found out, and they decided, let's follow in Daddy's footsteps and be heroes.
Even though Daddy abandoned us.
Right. So they became founding members of a superhero team, Infinity Inc. That's a group composed mainly of children, grandchildren, and proteges of members of Justice Society.
Yeah, they're a cool team. I mean, at least just a cool-looking team, too.
So here's where we get Anne's powers. Okay. Obsidian is connected to the Shadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
Sound kind of familiar,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
A dimension of primordial, quasi-sentient darkness. At will, Obsidian can merge with his own shadows and possess the shadows of others. So basically, if he sees you in the sunshine, he can choke you out with your own shadow.
That's dope.
Right, it's pretty cool. In his shadow form, he's stronger than in human form. He can pass through solid objects and can fly. At one point, he got really kind of corrupted by the Shadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows the scope of his power. He grew to an enormous size and could create objects out of the shadows in a similar way that his father and sister can control and create objects out of green energy.
Mm-hmm.
He also was able to almost completely cover the world in a dark shroud and destroy it. That's how powerful Obsidian is. He is also has limited telepathic abilities and can force a person to see the evil side of their own soul, which can sometimes drive them insane.
He could also, like, possess them, too, right? I mean, it was something like that. He could, like...
Yes, he can possess, like, if there's a darkness inside of him. In his shadow form, he's resistant to low amounts of antimatter. Demons cannot hurt him. So he's basically, if he turns into a shadow form, anything kind of satanic can't touch him.
Sweet.
He, though, unfortunately, here's the downside. He inherited his mother's potential for mental illness. Rose and Thorn had a bit of a, I believe it was a bipolar or a dissociative identity disorder.
It was like serious mental illness.
Right. Yeah. And he can oftentimes turn a little dark, let's say.
So literally and figuratively.
Right. That's when he did the whole trying to take over the world. He attacked his foster father. His biological father came to the rescue and, you know, kind of shook him out of it, so to speak. But that's Obsidian. Jade, she has Starheart energy manipulation. Powers similar to those of her father. However, unlike her father, her powers do not come from a ring.
Right.
Earlier in, you know, Alan Scott's career as Green Lantern, he needed the ring. Now I don't think he does.
I think he became kind of like his daughter. He became like one part of that, the Starheart.
That Starheart, yeah.
Within.
Yeah.
Right. So she channels the power through her birthmark on her palm of her hand. But she also is at times often a Green Lantern.
Right.
So as with all Green Lanterns, she can bring unlimited green energy constructs to life. She can use the constructs in any way, limited only to her will, imagination, endurance. She uses the constructs mostly often to create shields, to fly, to travel through outer space, yada yada, you know, just like a Green Lantern would. She also inherited from her mother the ability to affect plants.
Okay.
So we have
She's got a little
swamp thing in her, yeah, a little poison ivy, a little swamp thing.
Jesus.
Jade can cause accelerated growth of plants and manipulate the movement of most plant life. She also has green-hued skin, which we all know, or should know.
Right.
Basically, she has the ability, because her skin contains chlorophyll, she has the ability to photosynthesize sunlight as a plant does.
Oh, that's amazing.
So she can feed herself, empower herself, and become stronger, much like Superman, under a yellow sun. She does have a mystical connection with the Starheart, so she can tell whenever her twin brother or her father are nearby. She does share a telepathic connection with her brother. Also something to keep in mind. That's pretty much the two teams that I have here set up.
Right.
Now, it really sounds, right at the beginning, like this is an overpowered match to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like Obsidian and Jade are going to take this hands down.
Right.
So what we do is... Cloak, since he can teleport through the darkness and can absorb others into the darkness, he's a formidable foe.
Right.
But Obsidian is darkness.
Right.
Easily can take out Cloak. Right. I mean, I don't even think that this is a question for anybody.
It's almost like he just absorbs Cloak or something, you know, just like a million different ways.
Exactly. Yeah. Just sucks him right in,
yeah.
Absorbs him. The minute Cloak tries to teleport, he has him.
Right.
Anytime he tries to use that, so it comes down to just fisticuffs,
basically,
and Obsidian's not going to do that. Yeah. He's just going to use shadows, things around him. Now, here's where it could get a little different. Dagger, her only hope is to charge Cloak. But if Jade is there to take on Dagger, it's over quickly.
Right.
Right.
If she can somehow charge Cloak while... or right before she attempts to fight Jade, or somehow is able to hide from Jade through the Shadow Realm without Obsidian knowing, if there's some way that Obsidian can't touch this light in the dark, then it's a possibility that she can charge Cloak. She can do that unless she strikes first.
Right.
Then Dagger might also then have a chance against Jade. Because if she hits her with her draining ability, she could weaken Jade, then quickly power Cloak. Mm-hmm. Cloak could then come in and be strong enough to at least put up a fight with Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dagger could come in, and it would be 2-on-1.
Right.
Even then, though, I see Obsidian taking it.
Yeah.
So what I see is that Dagger doesn't... She's not... I don't think she's experienced as Jade. So Jade...
Chess versus checkers.
Right. Jade gets her shield up right away. And so she doesn't really get affected by Dagger. Even supercharged, Cloak is no match for a mad Obsidian. So let's say, for example, that Jade does get taken out
mm-hmm.
by Dagger. Okay? Obsidian is going to be so pissed. He might crack. If Obsidian cracks,
right.
he's going to lose his mental stability.
Right.
If he loses his mental stability, then basically we all lose.
Right.
So this is an interesting way. I've never played it before. But I really don't want Jade to die.
Right.
Because if Jade dies, everyone could actually
just
die.
Just darkness. Yeah.
Yeah, just darkness. So, I mean, we're talking everyone within the realm of all superheroes has a potential to be in trouble on this.
So you can go a little David Haller Legion.
Yeah.
Cross that line.
Yeah, you could absolutely cross that line. So,
and he did. I mean, he did, and there was a JSA three-part story. It was really good about him just losing his mental stability and, like, taking over everything. And he took on the Justice Society, like, single-handedly. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
So either way, no matter how you break it down, Obsidian and Jade win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jade dies, Obsidian still wins.
Right.
Just with deeper consequences.
Right. We all lose, but Obsidian will still win. Cloak and Dagger, hands down, have no chance of actually winning. But they do have a chance of taking out Jade.
Right.
So in that, they have a slight chance of doing one thing, but then ruin everything for everybody else.
So basically win a battle, but lose the war.
Lose the war for everyone. This is the worst you could ever think about type scenarios for this. Mm-hmm. And I thought long and hard on this, and I can't think any way out
for
Cloak and Dagger.
I'd go with that.
None at all.
You know what? I can't disagree.
Yeah.
Because Obsidian kind of reminds me a little bit of what Legion can do, where if you cross that line, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You need like 1,000 heroes to take on this person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if he absorbs Cloak, what's to say he doesn't get access to his
abilities.
Dark realm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
you got problems.
Then he's got access to Marvel, you know, and you guys are in trouble over there too.
Yep.
Because you've got small timers that deal with that shit. You ain't got anybody that big.
Right.
You know, when we look at DC and Marvel, oftentimes, well, maybe, but oftentimes we look at how overpowered DC is compared to Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a tendency to be more overpowered.
And, you know, like with the DC versus Marvel comic that came out, that was a popularity thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lobo, there's no way Lobo loses to Wolverine.
Right. If you look at it, it's just a really straightforward thing that these guys are really tough as nails. Now, there's some scenarios, and like we've all been able to do with these,
mm-hmm.
where certain Marvel characters can take out certain DC characters, and that makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Obsidian, I think, would...
Basically, like, this is a suicide match for Cloak and Dagger. No matter how you cut, how you slice or dice it, it's a suicide.
I think we'd be left with the Dark Horse world and possibly Image Comics.
Hmm.
And Valiant.
And
well, also, like, just even backgrounds, like, they've just been through so much more than what Tandy and Cloak had been through. You know, Cloak's seen some shit, but I mean, like, Todd was, like, mental illness... Hmm. Abandoned by their families, and then, like, also an abusive stepfather.
So, quick question. So, Obsidian, I'm not as familiar with him as I would be with Jade, so he has no limits to his ability and his powers? He can just keep expanding and expanding and expanding? In other words, to a point where as we get into the Marvel Universe, if he got there, that even, like, the Living Tribunal couldn't stop him, or the Infinity Gauntlet couldn't do anything, the Beyonder couldn't do anything?
If you're dealing with the darkness of space...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is a limit. Not to him. I think he could continue to expand. I think Obsidian,
even as a human,
could possibly be one of the most dangerous heroes in any universe.
I would think Franklin Richards would, at his full ability, would might have a chance.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, Franklin Richards might, but I'm saying one of the, I'm not saying the most dangerous, right, but one of the most dangerous, absolutely.
Of all these universes. You know what? That's giving me an idea for a future SmackDown.
Obsidian versus everyone.
Yeah, the only reason they were able to, the JSA were able to beat him is because they appealed to his humanity. And like and his mental
kind of like the Phoenix Force in a way. Yeah. You had to get into Jean Grey's appeal to her humanity to kind of, you know.
But if you kill Jade, all bets are off.
Yeah,
there's nothing left.
Right.
There's nothing tethering him to this world because Alan Scott ain't going to cut it. Daddy that left him ain't going to cut it. It's over. You know what I'm saying? It's over. Hmm. And with that, I think we're over.
We are over.
I have to say, fellas, this was indeed a very dark and bloody SmackDown.
Yes, epic bloody one.
A lot of people died. A lot of suffering.
So we'll tip our mead to the ones that are lost, and we'll move on.
Yes.
We just move on.
Yep.
And all out there, please support your comic book shops out there.
Subscribe, please.
Subscribe. Tell your friends, rate, review if you can. Do everything. Just love on it. All right, so I'm Jarrett.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Donald.
And we'll see you at the comic shop.